Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm going back to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walking around the corner, second, the whistle is gone, and Slider Rover is out of the shot here. By the river side, it can match the tide of all as people.
Well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
So bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Get it right and drive it clean out over the fence. Out in the field of corn.
In the bookie shop, I done. Okay, good to go. I believe the Mac attack is looking down from us up there, I believe.
Hello, Mark.
There's been talk. There he is, Macker. Any sign of Gino?
Gino was in the shower 10 minutes ago. He's en route.
Okay.
They lost 3-2.
Ah, the Mac's
hey, here he is. Just out of the shower.
That wasn't scripted. It's not you. Get away.
Gino.
That wasn't scripted. Right. It's time for... That's your cards. Two Sligo Rovers legends. Ronan, you might go through a few of the stats with the boys.
I don't have the stats ready yet, though.
Stats, okay.
The multiple FAI Cup winners, League Cup winners, League winners, Setanta Cup winners, played in Europe loads of times.
Just winners.
Sorry?
Just winners, really.
Just winners. We've two winners come to the stage, Alan Keane and Rafael Cretero.
The Tubber Curry Tornado.
Listen to Mike.
Oh, we actually had a theme song for you. We're not playing it, so we'll sing it.
We need
na 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 na. Hey, Sligo Rovers. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah.
Right, lads. Great to have you.
Go easy on us.
We've got one import, and we've got an import from Tubber Curry, which is a big thing into this town. But Raf was always taken to our hearts in the showground. So, lads, I suppose, Raf, you first signed for Rovers in the year 2000. Don O'Riordan, I'd say.
Yeah, Tommy Cassidy and then Don O'Riordan, yeah.
So he signed for Tommy Cassidy. Got that. Tommy Cassidy, the first stat wrong.
It's a bad start.
good start.
Different times from the years 2000 to 2005 when you were first there.
Absolutely, yeah. We were obviously down in the first division, so it was a big drop been down there. But like you see, then the golden years, you respect it a lot more when you go into the Premier Division and you get the win, obviously in the cups and stuff like that. So big difference.
Can I throw Raf on the spot straight away?
Go on.
Can you name as many shirt sponsors for all the years you played for Sligo Rovers? Can you name each shirt sponsor? As many as you can, Raphael. It's okay. We're all friends here.
I can only remember the Volkswagens one because they were the ones we won.
Tours, surely.
Tours the chemist, starting off.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
He wasn't around your Beamish, were you?
I was just after.
Come on, Mert.
Sorry, Kino, you landed here in 2000. My stats are wrong, so it's probably not 2008, but...
2009, researcher.
Yeah.
It was meant to be 2008, but it was in Australia. I told Paul Cook that I missed the first flight, and I got the other flight home, which was in February.
So you're both, obviously, I suppose we start with Cookie. Cookie was obviously a character, I suppose.
Well, what stories do you want from Cookie?
Ah, any stories you have. I could tell you a few stories myself. I used to work in a bookies, so.
No detail, no matter how graphic.
Look, I'll sum Cookie up in just this one here. I think we were playing sport in Fingal, and we were 1-0 up at half time.
Oh, yeah.
And end up losing the game, I think, 2-1. So, came in after it. All the lads obviously fucking mad as fuck, obviously going 1-0 up and end up losing the game 2-0. Cookie comes in and he'd be there walking and he'd be saying his, talking in his head away. And then he'd go, "See you, Piercy, fucking headed you empty head, just fucking headed," he'd be saying to him. And then he'd look around and then he'd go to Keno then, "You, fucking cross the ball, lad, fucking put it in the box." And then he'd just walk around again, he'd say nothing, and he'll just go through each and one and every one of the lads. And so we're all, he just says, "Right, fucking get yourselves off. We'll get fucking home." So all the lads are just sitting there, hands on the head. No one getting changed. Cookie's obviously got his clothes off, headed into the shower. We're all sitting down again. No one's moved. He's just came out of the shower with suds all over him. "Hey, you, just fucking headed, you cunt, ya."
And his thing is just dangling there.
And he's fucking, not a sausage on him, suds everywhere. And
fucking, it's no sausage.
So we're just looking at each other like this, saying, and we just started laughing. And he says, "Fuck off, you're all cunts." He says,
but
gets himself back in, anyways. And this will sum him up. We've gone home, anyways. Next morning, anyways, he rang me. I think it was about 11 o'clock in the morning. "Where are you, lad?" Still in bed. It was 2 o'clock when we got back, I think. "Hey, get all the lads. I'll meet you in the Ore Moor at 12 o'clock.
That actually was my next point. The Ore Moor.
So yeah. Every night always, the beginning of a good day always started in the Ore Moor. Yeah. So and that'll sum them up in one thing.
You were living in Colonia with a few characters at the time, were you, Kino?
Stop. Cookie actually moved in beside us. Myself, Blinkhorn and Doyle.
Father figure.
So we were going around looking for a house, and this house came available. Oates Breheny had it, and
shout out to Tommy Breheny and Oates, yeah. Shout out to St Mary's.
I think it was Declan Basquell that was looking after us, but we went and viewed the house and said, "Perfect, furniture, everything in." So we agreed, and that was grand, and we're coming back into town, all our stuff packed in the car. I think Declan rang us back and said, "That house is gone, lads." And we said, "How's it gone? Like, we've agreed." Someone took it. I said, "Couldn't have been." So we said, "It has to be fucking Paul Cook, like." So we rang Paul Cook and he goes, "Oh, lads," he says, "you want to see the house I got in Colony?" "Cookie, you're not fucking serious, like." So we went straight in, put our deposit on, said, "Never mind giving it to him." So we said, "Thank fuck, he's not living around Colony." So it was grand. Next thing, a knock came to the door that evening. "All right, lads, I've just moved in next door. What's for dinner?" And he used to come in and...
Frank the Tank.
Stop. He'd come in and he'd eat all around him and then just head off. But there's a good one where we're in the OMO. I think we played Shams. We'd normally, second, third game of the season, we'd go out. Like, we'd stay, I suppose, stay good for pre-season. So this time, I think we drew 1-1 with Shams. He said, "Everyone in the OMO next day." So I went in, about 12 o'clock, we're all doing shots and that. And no sign of Cookie. So... 12:30 came, 1 o'clock, no sign of Cookie. Then all of a sudden, we look out the window. We were just in the snug area, kind of, where the jukebox is in the Ore Moor. We seen this Batman costume going flying by, you know? And this comes back again, and next thing, there's this fella in a mask and Batman standing at the window. We're like, "Wait," we said, "who the fuck is that this hour of the day?"
In kicks, parody was, and he got it out.
In kicks the door, and who is it but Cookie, like. "All right, lads," he says. "What's that?" Goes in, has a few shots. So anyway, a fella came in, anyway, he goes, "Jesus, swore you won last night." This was after 2 or 3 hours. And Cookie then, mood just changed. He was like, "We're all on for going into town and in here to toss at the time." And then he goes, "Right, lads, no one in town after 5 o'clock. So we're like, "Fucking hell, this was meant to be a night out." Then he goes, 5 o'clock comes, 5 to 5. He gets on, puts back on his mask, and then puts his cape on and goes flying out the door, waving at the window. So we said, "He's taking the piss here." So we all come in. This is the character he is. Like, we all come into town. And anyways, I think only 7 of us made it into Toffs. The rest were absolutely bananas. That's some right. Nearly going to get arrested outside
good
the door.
Good five-a-side team.
Yeah. So next day, 2 days later, went into training. And, geez, he came in with a foul mood, Cookie. So what's what's going on? He goes, who was in toss the last night? We're like, now he loved, we put our hands up, you know. Now you had Kieran Kelly and a few others who were asleep getting sick of themselves outside, who couldn't get in. All right, ye seven, all fine, 100 quid each, because you're in toffs. And we turned around and said, what about the fucking boys that couldn't get in? They were paralytic outside. 100 quid, so kept pestering me then the next day for the 100 quid. So I had to put him in the car, go up to the bank link, give him 100 quid. Now he says, here's 50 back, go in and do accumulator. Whatever you win, we get back. So I made money from the night out.
Come here. You were speaking about fines, but you had a man who took the fine system very seriously, I believe. Raph, you were saying.
Yeah.
A big roaster.
I don't know, does... look, a lot of people might be familiar with Paul McTiernan.
Oh, yeah. You can tell all the folks you
Ballyfernan, man, absolute character. So, would we had a fine system, obviously, if you were late, dirty boots, so and so forth, worst trainer, stuff like that. Anyways, McTiernan, on the most money as well, my might add, was,
what
the
are tight, we about
was as tight as a submarine door. And I mean tight. Couldn't get a penny out of him. And he just strolled in, did what he wanted. Anyways, Sean Connors was the manager at the time.
We'll come back to him later on.
Yeah, Sean Connors was the manager. And Sean, hey, Paul, you have to pay the fines. You know, the boys... The boys need the money, you know, for a night out. It's you know, been professional. I'm fucking paying nothing, he says. And Sean is like, but you have to, boy. You know, it's been professional. I'm paying nothing. Tiernan leaves the dressing room. Anyways, comes down then about 10 minutes later, a fucking shotgun in his hands. I swear to God, shotgun. And there was one of the, you know, the traffic cones. Outside the showgrounds was getting a little bit of work. The new stand was been built. Shoots the fucking cone. All you see is Sean Connors slamming the door. The door was closed before the shot was fucking gone off. He was gone. He knew what he was dealing with. He said, I'm not fucking asking that cone for anything.
And McTiernan didn't even drink, did he?
He didn't drink. He does this worse than any man without drink. Never mind fucking putting drink in him.
That goes back to him not drinking. He was on driving duties one night and he collected Matthew Blinkhorn on his first night in Sligo, I believe.
Yeah, well, Blinks came over, obviously, English lad coming over here, and he was from Blackpool and he was used to it. He said, this town's quiet. Well, where are we going? We'll head to Velvet. You used to always bring the new lads either here or Velvet. So we went to Velvet at the time and we're struggling to get a taxi home. And next thing, this Jeep passes by and who is it but McTee? So we flagged him down. He says, oh, no bother. He says, lads, jump in. So he jumped in and Blinks gets in the back. I think it was the time around bird flu or whatever. So Blinks now is pure.
Tough time to be alive, right?
Yeah. What? He goes, what's going on here? He says, this fella. So he gets in the thing, and next thing you can hear Blinks shouting in the back, what the fuck? I said, what's that? There is a big pheasant and a fox and everything, dead pheasant, dead fox in the back. And McTee having the gun in the boot, he says, it's all right. He says, I was just out shooting. Blinkhorn just, I remember Blinks woke up the next day and he said his hangover was bad. He said, he goes, well, was I imagining things last night? And he said, no, that's McTee.
You did some drinking?
No, I wouldn't say we did.
No,
we've done a lot.
You were a successful team though, so.
Yeah, no, we look at Paul Cook, and coming down on Luke, and you know the huntsman, the fox hunter, is it, or whatever it is?
Either,
yeah, so. That what used to be our, now it's different nowadays. They get pizzas after games, they get or whatever they get. We used to come down and stop off at that shop. And whoever wanted food goes into the shop and the rest of us can go into the pub for two quick pints. So that was always the way of coming back. You'd win a game, win or lose, Cookie would always do it. So this time in particular, Cookie goes, a fucking bus driver, he's a fucking pain in the arse. He says, a moody fucker.
Fetch is the fella who brought us to Carlingford.
So we go into the thing anyway, and we get a few drinks, and people, the lads that didn't want to, come on, we're going to get the fucking bus home, and the bus driver's giving out. So Cookie goes to the barman, listen, have you a black bin bag? We're like, what the fuck do you want a black bin bag for? He goes, right, put four or five cans in the black bin bag and give us the rest of the cans and put them around, fill them around our waist and everything. We said, well, just put them in the bin bag. No, he says, when you're going to walk with the bin bag, the bus driver's going to come off. He's going to take the bin bag off you with drink, he says, but we'll have the other drink on in the bus.
And that's why that man is managing in English.
And I swear to God, he come down.
Elite.
And no, honest to God, you wouldn't believe it. And he come
but
down.
But that's where training sessions.
And but yeah, but then you go in on Monday morning, like he treats you like an adult. Yeah. That's the way it was. And Jesus Christ, you go in Monday morning, and Raph, look, even the times out in Strand Hill, 1K runs. And they weren't 1K, they were about fucking 2K. We had to have them done in four minutes. Like, you'd run from the edge of Strand Celtic all the way down to the front, back up. You have a 2 minute break and you're going again. And he'd sweat it out of you, but he's the same. Tuesday then, he goes, that's it for the week. Tuesday, he'd be on the phone to you, or he'd knock into the house. Come on, lads, we need a session. And straight up to the O'Moore Tuesday, he says.
Oh, Jesus Christ almighty.
Look, sure.
It worked.
Barely won anything since, so.
It worked.
A winning recipe.
What was the transition like then from Cookie and all that, and obviously success? I know people say it was Cookie's team in a way, but to Ian Barra Club then, was it much of a difference?
Barra came in, it was a lot, we were still partied, don't get me wrong, but it was, I suppose, it wasn't the 2 or 3 days, it was probably just the 1 day and one night, you know, that was it. As Richie Ryan said when he tried to get fined before, Cookie says, I told you you're allowed out 1 day, and Richie Ryan was gone out Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, but he says, Gaffer, he says, I didn't go home at all, he says, that counted as 1 day. But Barra came in, he was a lot more attention to detail. Before games, you used to get a list of the player. Like, I was obviously right back, and he'd tell me, a lad, he cuts inside majority of the time, 90% of the time he cuts inside. Then you're playing he plays this way, he doesn't use his right foot, he uses his left foot. He normally plays the midfielder. His attention to detail was very, very good, like, you know. And Gary Stevens was with him as well, and he's obviously a European winner with Tottenham Hotspur.
Great times, 2012. Great times. Like,
unbelievable. And just like Kino said, like, his attention to detail was probably the little bit that we needed to get us to where we got. And Gary Stevens, again, was a good character as well around the place. And, you know, we enjoyed it. Like, we won, but we went out and we enjoyed it. And he didn't mind us going out after a game, after fucking winning or possibly even losing. Because sometimes it can be the thing that keeps everyone together. We didn't just train together, and the big thing I noticed was when I obviously went to Bose was when when you're at Sligo, when you finish training, we all went for lunch together. We all stayed for another 2 or 3 hours together. The lads all lived together. We're in Dublin. As soon as you finish training, everyone just went gone. You didn't see them till the next day, so they didn't have that probably togetherness that we all had at the group, you know.
What was it like for you, Kino? You're probably a Sligo man now, to be honest. You're not a goalie man anymore.
Bart Follin
now, your cousin, I believe.
Well, so he tells me.
Yeah.
He's told me loads of times. I keep forgetting.
He's told us all. But obviously it was great for you. You were there at that for 3-4 years, the time they won the league. But Raph, that game against Pats in the showgrounds with, 6,000-7,000 people there. What must that, like...
There's never been a roar like the first goal. The first goal, there's never been a roar like it in the showgrounds.
Bringing desperados that day. It ended in tragedy.
I was on the Kansas side or up the back.
No, like you said, look, been a local lad, probably, you know, something I probably dreamed of doing as a young lad, and to get the opportunity to do it was you know, a special time for me as a player. But, you know, I think the big one was, you know, everybody, the club hadn't won the league in 33 years, and to be part of that was phenomenal, you know. And look, we were lucky. We had a fantastic group of lads. We had good staff, and we had a golden era as such. So, you know, I'm just grateful as a young Sligo man to have gotten the chance to play for my local club.
Do you think...
Up the lads.
Do you think there's a couple of league titles left behind? Do you think you should have won more than one?
Yeah, 100%. 2013, we should have won it again.
After the start.
That's we've let go of good players and then replaced them with players. It was a missed opportunity, which was ridiculous. We could have been like the way Dundalk was back in when the kick started in 2014. Everyone wanted to play for Sligo Rovers. From 2010 onwards, we're the team to play for, and instead we're letting go our better players for the simple reason over 100 quid or something like that, whereas we lost them all. And when players, as Raph would probably agree, when you see that players are leaving clubs, you say there's something wrong somewhere, and you just don't go there.
Really? Yeah.
If you see the best
player. Fine margins like that, that's fine, yeah.
Yeah, like you, Jason McGuinness, Mark Quigley leaving.
But no, McGuinness got a 47-euro taxi out to
They went Taxi a long way, I think, to Riverstone, didn't they?
Forget everything else. Give us your memories of Taxigate.
Well, yeah, was Taxigate talked about in the dressing room? That was the best night in Sligo ever. 5th of November, 2013? 12?
Huey Blaine alert.
I don't know. I just woke up the next morning. So we're all out. The phones were hopping and the group chat was hopping. And then
it was viral with Obama.
Yeah, yeah.
It was trending with Obama.
Yeah, and we turned it on and said, who was in the taxi? So I texted the group, who was it? McGuinness then, he gets a pure, he got kind of, wasn't annoyed, he was kind of disappointed that he let himself down. He paid the taxi, he said.
He shook his fist anyways, that's all we know. Yeah. Shake harder, boy. Shake harder.
And then I suppose after the glory years, there was a couple of characters that took over the team for a while.
Oh, John and John Coleman and Jimmy Bell.
The two boys.
I've another good story. Is the
underwear in the plastic bag story true?
The what?
The underwear in the plastic bag and go.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
Like, well, go ahead. Let's tell the audience.
So anyways, John and Jimmy, obviously we'd known them. Cookie would have probably helped get the job. And they were obviously with Aki for a couple of years. And they're phenomenal job what they've done there. But they came and we had a kitty built up for late fines and stuff like that with 1,500 or 1,600. So John Coleman goes, what are we going to do with it? Galway races are coming up. That's it, we're going to the Galway races. So that was grand. Who's going? He goes, it's a 40 euro fine for anyone that doesn't go. Now we had lads in the dressing room, like with Evan McMillan, that who hated even parting with a euro, never mind 40 euro. So anyway, the boys wouldn't pay the fine, so he said, fuck it, we'll just go anyway. We're going to use the kitty. Off we go, and went to the races, good old crack. Got into town. Jimmy Bell, who wasn't used to drinking Guinness all day. So we go down to this nice, was it Indian or Chinese restaurant?
Chinese, yeah.
Yeah, and, classic Indian Guinness. Yeah. Good combo.
So myself, Rustler, Raff, and Davo.
And
Piercy, I think, was there. And next thing, Jimmy's gone missing for a while, Jimmy Bell. Next thing, he comes back and he's fidgeting inside his inside pocket and he takes a load of tissues and he starts wrapping up this thing in the tissues. What are you doing, Jimmy? Oh, I shit myself. I said, what? I go, what's in the tissue? Me boxers. And I said, well, what the fuck are you doing with them at the table? He goes, they're my Calvin Klein's. I had to go in and wash them. So he just threw them away. So he washed them. And he was out all night with the Calvin Klein's washed in his pocket. You could actually see the wet starting to come through by the end of the night. Like,
it's like in Borat with the
And then that's not the end of that night, though. So we get up the next morning and we find two of the lads in bed. One of the lads couldn't get into the room. And there was two lads in bed, Raph and John Coleman, cuddled in the bed. Two boys are cuddled up. They couldn't. Raph, I think, was at home.
Who was the big spoon, Raph?
I tell you what, I woke up. It wasn't the one I was hoping to wake up. I put it that way. But he had not a sausage on him. And there's evidence. There's picture evidence that I get reminded of every now and again, flying around. But I woke up beside him with not a sausage on him, and just the boys in taking pictures of me, and I'm just waking up, and the lads in front of me. They got a good laugh out of it anyway.
Of course we had a sausage on them in Paris.
But even going back to, for John and Jimmy, like, we went to Rosenberg, obviously, at the time as well. And we went in, and the night before, you train in the big stadium, and it's class stadium, Rosenberg Stadium and all that. Next thing, we're going through a bit of set plays and stuff like that. Next thing, we look. John Coleman's playing right wing, Jimmy Bell's playing up front, and our chairman is taking practicing throw-ins with the young fella. And we're like, some of the Rosenberg people here, this is kamikaze stuff, the night before a big game, and our manager's playing right wing. I think Theo was playing left wing. He gave me an absolute grilling. He roasted me that night. I said, I don't want to play tomorrow. Theo, the kit man, you know? So then that was grand. We got up in the morning, and the two boys woke up, came down the table, bananas. John and Jimmy, they're out all night. Oh, we're getting fed drink.
Europa League or Champions League?
Europa League. And we went to him and said, how the fuck? We're going to get hammered here. Ended up going, we won 2-1.
2-1, yeah. 2-1, 3-1. Was it Rory Keaton had a great
chance? Had a great chance, yeah. But they were characters, like. And then we had Mickey Adams then. And
the dirty dub was in the middle.
Oh, well, forget about that. Don't get me started.
He didn't like you. Huh? Well, Harry, he didn't like you.
I didn't like him either, no.
But he didn't seem to like
him. Nah, his first statement...
This isn't been recorded, so go on.
His first statement when he came in was the one that got me. He comes in and he's giving us a thing and he goes, "See all them fans? Fuck the fans," he says. "Who cares about the fucking fans?" He says, "We do this." And we're like, nah, that's not a good start. And like, to be honest, when he was coming here first, I was like, lovely, legend of the league. Can't wait to play under him and stuff. But it was just, it was toxic. It was absolutely toxic.
And that season then, so Joey took over for a couple of games. And then
welcome to heaven. he actually got him that gig, you know, and you two were on the commentary one night, didn't you?
Yeah, I believe we'll be back for next this year's cup run. It lasted one game last year.
We had one game against Cork Rovers.
Talked to Sligo Rovers this year about that.
We had a couple of cans beforehand, probably wasn't the best idea.
Oh,
we thought you did a great job.
And we got rave reviews.
Rave reviews by Cork.
From our family.
So Mickey and Mr. Tank took over then. Oh. Two more characters.
Yeah.
Tank is me buried in Twitter. Banned. Because I called out his horse racing scam or something. No, I actually just liked a tweet about him scamming people on horse racing.
Yeah, he tries to get people to buy into the horse. Yeah. Then the horse gets injured.
Right, straight to the big story about him, he tells.
There's only one story from that particular few months.
Which one?
We never got relegated that year.
You were training. Oh, forget about on the pitch.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Well, on the pitch, but you got a surprise guest. At
Patrick and Zuzi got in a bit of trouble.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that morning. Yeah, that was a good crack. Well, it wasn't at the time.
Someone was somewhere that shouldn't have been with a woman.
I don't know if that was it or something.
I'll let you take from there, lads.
Something happened on a night out or something, and two of the lads were out. They're only new to the club, and something happened, and it got out of hand. And anyways,
let's get out of the bag there, I think.
Yeah, yeah, literally out of hand. But we got into training on Monday morning, and the club had been. Got a phone call and said, "Look, there was a bit of issue in town or something, and we're getting strapped up for the physios and stuff like that." And Jennison Myrie Williams, who had just signed for us, was there as well. And Patrick Ganzuzzi was at training. And next thing, we all went out. It's a hard one to tell, but we went out anyway to training. And the incident happened that someone was after Patrick. And he was going to get it if he didn't leave the county or didn't leave.
Word was put out.
Word was put out, and it was warning. He has to get out. So the boys, Mickey Adams and Mickey Adams and Alan Rodston, get home quick, pack your bags, and get the fuck out. You know. And he goes, "Why? Get out? Because you're going to get lynched." All right. So, anyways, Jennison and Myrie Williams was the only black fella left. Like, you know. So he worried. He was panicking. Because he said, "Oh my God," he says, "I'm the only one left here." He says, "That's not what they might think, it's me." So next day, poor old Jennison anyway goes out in the pitch, and we were all doing crossing and finishing, it was all good. And all of a sudden, my heart was pounding at the time, seeing this fella bouncing in with a balaclava and a gun and the socks up around, and he was running to Jennison Myrie Williams. He goes, and all you can hear, I don't know
there's a video, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen the video.
Under the Cosh have it up, you know, the podcast. They have it up recently enough.
Yeah, so Tank.
By the way, our two biggest players.
Shit themselves.
Fucking were gone over the stand before your man jumped even off
who,
the
who
pitch.
Who, Raph? Piercy was one, definitely.
Els and who was it?
Elding.
Els and Martin Nielsen.
And Martin Nielsen. Gone. I mean, there was fucking smoke coming off behind them. Gone.
Yeah,
the two boys.
Martin.
But then
bloody Scandinavians.
But then he went. Alan Rogers tried to say he was the tough man, but when he went up to Jennison Myrie Williams, he says, "Get down." He goes, "That's Jennison Myrie Williams." Mickey Adams is shouting. He says it in his book as well. And then Tank was, as we call him, Alan Rogers. He started running over towards him, and he goes, all right. And he gets down behind the smallest man on the pitch, which was Wardy. And to this day, like, he's, you know, as he said, it was on off the Cosh and stuff. But it was one of them.
When did it was John Russell.
Yeah, Russell.
Yeah. When did he reveal himself? Like, he must have shit. I would have shit my pants.
He revealed himself fairly soon afterwards, and everyone just, you know, you see Rory Keating on it. He nearly got sick because he thought he was going to shoot it. Like, no one had a clue. Russell was injured at the time, but it was.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah, it was one of the best.
Unbelievable, lads. I suppose we haven't talked much football, which has been great. To be honest with you, we could talk.
I have a football question.
One.
Keno's tearing strips in the Astro League with Garda Station Sligo. Although he's a firefighter. Raph is hitting goals in the Super League with Real Tubber.
I've seen it.
What's the better standard, lads?
Well, I'm actually after signing for a team down in second division in Roscommon, would you believe?
What the?
Yeah.
Okay.
I let that one slip through my fingers.
Huh? Yeah.
Your fucking stats. Who or what? What?
Ballinagher Manor.
Beg your pardon?
Ballinagher Manor.
You're going very well this year. Big pre-season ahead of them.
Yeah, they're sixth in the second division.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was out with their manager last week, and they're coming for Killarney.
Raph, you're enjoying life with Real Tubber at the minute?
Yeah, I'm loving it. I always said when I finished playing a bit of football, obviously, with Rovers, that the last football I kick would be where it all began at Real Tubber. So, loving it. And look, we've a good bunch of young lads there coming through. And obviously, we've had some great encounters ourselves and Carrington over
really,
the years.
Second half of the season, you found the net again.
Yeah. No, yeah, look, things are going well. Scoring one or two goals and... Look, there's still a bit of life in the old dog, yeah.
We might see you in the cup in a couple of weeks, hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Actually, is that one of your games earlier? Sorry to interrupt, but and your whole back line was wearing Sligo GA shorts of different vintage. Like, there was Missouri pair, a Cookery pair, and then two O'Neills. Like, they were spanning 25 years nearly. Very impressive. You lost 4-0, but good short wearing.
Right, lads. We could be talking to you for hours.
Yeah, lads, the boys
one last question.
Oh, sorry?
Last question before you go. Best memory playing for the Rovers? I think I know your one, Raph.
I have. For me, probably obviously winning the league with me, my local club, and getting on the score sheet, I suppose. That's definitely my best memory. And the nights out.
Yeah, the league is obviously up there, but for me, beating Shams in the first...
Although I heard you call them Rovers earlier.
We're only seeing where you were wide awake because you were nervous in there. You were shitting yourself.
Yes. I had too many grapes.
Raph, you asked the...
Yeah, no, the...
Well, I know Raph's answer to this one.
Yeah, of course. The big question, favourite takeaways?
That's obviously Raph's, isn't
it? Favourite takeaway in Sligo, Kino?
Had one
Supermax
before I can
go. Supermax.
Get off the stage.
Get out.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a
bit, boys.
Thanks. I'm going back to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walking
around the final second, the whistle is gone, and Sligo Rovers are the champions.
By the riverside, it can match the tide as it flows.
Well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Gary tried and drives it clean out over the fence. Out in the field of corn.
In the bookie shop, I don't...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.